You know, we've all heard about the death of print journalism. But what if I told you that's simply not the case? I suspect you'd want proof. Well, that's coming up next. We're at the New York Press Association annual meeting in Albany, where I sat down with Walter Sanchez of BQE Media of New York City. I want you to listen to the reality of the newspaper industry from his view. And what's the secret to success? Now think hyperlocal. Walter Sanchez, next on the Business News Hour. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of Tarot International. You know, it might surprise you that research tells us 80% of your career success is not your technical skill, but your interpersonal skills. From communication to team building to actively listening, and Tarot International is there for the training. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. That's TERO.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aurion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AUREON.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you have clicked through again today. As I've told you for the last couple of days, we are broadcasting from the New York area. We're in Albany. New York, for the New York Press Association. These are newspaper people in the state of New York. And with me is an interesting cat by the name of Walter Sanchez, and he owns a company called BQE Media. We're going to dig into what that is in just a moment. Walter, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have
you here.
Thanks,
Michael. Thanks.
All right, explain what BQE Media is, and then I've got some really interesting questions for you.
Okay, so BQE Media owns publications, weekly publications that are legacy publications that have been published every week, some of them for more than 100 years.
Get out of here. Really?
We have 9 weekly publications, one in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, called the Greenpoint Star, which was a daily in 1855.
Wow.
And then became a weekly in 1900. And the Brooklyn Downtown Star, which is right near the Barclays Center where the Nets play. The Long Island City Astoria Journal, which is where Amazon just pulled out of Long Island City. The Queen's Ledger, which was founded in 1873 and been published every single week since then. It covers Maspeth, Middle Village, Woodside, which are areas of Queens about 3 miles from Manhattan. As you know, New York City is 5 boroughs,
sure.
So Queens is one of the boroughs. It's Queens, Manhattan, the Bronx, Staten Island, and Brooklyn. The Glendale Register, which is in the town of Glendale, Queens, was established in 1935. We published every week since 1935. They're paid publications.
So you have subscriptions.
We have subscriptions. We have paid publications. We do some free circulation. The Forest Hills Times is in Forest Hills, right where they played the U.S. Tennis Open for 100 years, and we're the paper of Forest Hills, again, published every week. The Wave of Rockaway, which has been a weekly in Rockaway since 1893, published every week.
Your publishing empire.
So the Leader Observer of Woodhaven has been published every week since 1909, and it's a 48-page paper filled with ads, real estate ads. Donald Trump's father, Fred Trump, was a Leader boy back in the 1920s, where he actually delivered that paper. So the way the papers were delivered back then is the boys would come to the newspaper office,
mm-hmm.
pick up the papers, pick up 50 of them, 100 of them, and go and sell them for 2 cents and give the paper, you know, back one. And so Fred Trump, who amassed a real estate fortune, was one of these Leader boys, and he got his start.
Get out of here.
He got his start right there with the Leader Observer of Woodhaven. So that's cool, right?
It is cool.
Good story. When we put that online, when he was running for office, it got 10,000 views in a half hour. You know, one of those things.
So the question begs to be asked, Walter. Everywhere we see, in almost every context out there, when we talk about business and publishing and newspapers, is that they are dying, they're going away, that they are not going to make it, nobody reads them, nobody is interested in them anymore because everything's online.
Yeah.
You're telling me that's BS.
Not true. It's not true. Well, you know, the online has actually helped newspapers that do original content. Most of the papers that have gone out of business, and I'm generalizing, obviously, you know, in Detroit, where they had three dailies, they were all doing the same stuff, and they're competing for the back page. You know, you're going to put the Detroit Tigers on the back page. They all have them. Where we cover Woodhaven, I mean, nobody else is covering the Boy Scout troop in Woodhaven, where the kid made his Eagle Scout, you know, and nobody's covering who's being born and who's dying in these neighborhoods, in these hyper-local neighborhoods, except us. And we run lean, you know, we'll print a few thousand, we'll print 5,000 of each of our papers, some of the papers more than, you know, 12,000 or so. A weekly circulation of all the papers is about 85,000. But the key is, nobody read about the Newtown Creek development before. If you didn't pick up the Brooklyn Downtown Star, you didn't read it. Now it's online or it's on social media,
right.
And all of a sudden thousands of people will read it. So do we make money from that per se? Because, you know, from our website, no. The websites are not big income generators, although a lot of people read it, and you know, it's branding for our local advertisers. So that's
what they like about it.
Yeah, you can't sell by paper per click. You know, we're selling it for $10 CPM. You're not, because you'll never reach what the big companies have. So you're just happy that Maspeth Federal Savings Bank, Chip Cookie Place from Astoria, NYU Langone Hospital, Con Edison, those local advertisers, the Mets, they care about, you know, reaching the local, and they look at us as reaching the local sports kid. So what we've done throughout the years is we actually own a little league. So we bought a basketball league and a baseball league back in 1990. And what we do is we promote the league. We add, you know, for 10-year-olds up to 18-year-olds. And those, we provide the umpires. We have permits to the local parks. And we make the schedules. And they have to go to our website to get the schedule, one. So they got to look at our website. And then we put pictures of 12-year-old kids on the
back. And who doesn't love that?
I mean, your kid is 12 years old and is playing basketball and you got a picture of him taking a layup, you're putting that up on your refrigerator, okay? So,
and you're telling everybody.
Yeah, and everybody that joins the league gets a subscription to the paper. And believe it or not, this is what we found, Michael, and this is the wildest thing. When these kids become adults and open up a landscaping business, guess what? Where they advertise it?
Hello.
Queens Ledger, because we're their friend. They trust us. They know us. We ran the league, so we have sponsors like Powerade and Arby's sponsors our league. They give us $1,000, you know, to put the name on the shirts, and Arby's gives out certificates. So we get our advertisers. So the smart publishers, I feel,
this is key.
Don't just slap down a quarter page in their paper. There's more work. They get them involved. They bring them clients. They bring them customers. We bring, you know, you got to match your clients to your readers.
Got to know who they are.
So our readers are these families of kids that play basketball in parks, you know, and actually we play the championship games at either St. John's University, where the Red Storm play, or at the National Center Tennis Center. We've had our championship games at the National Tennis Center, and it's not like we're getting 1,000 people there. Just family and friends come, okay? But we play at the college, National Tennis Center, where we have our finals. Now, this year we played at Martin Luther School, which is a high school. You know, that's where we play our championship games, and, you know, people come, and it's like an arena type of thing.
Well, this is amazing. Okay, so you've unpacked a lot of stuff there.
No.
Walter Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, BQE Media out of New York. What I find is really point on, and what you're talking about is making a relationship connection with the readers, with your advertisers, and making sure that you know who the customer is so that you can sell to the advertiser.
That's right.
And you make that connection.
Right.
But it's more than just slapping a 2x3 ad in a magazine or a newspaper. You really attempt to get to know them and service them. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, Arby's is just a great example. Wow. Arby's wants to give back to the community, so you know they want kids to come. They want you to know their roast beef sandwich is kind of cool. And by the way, if you have it, it's pretty good. And the gyro sandwich is kind of good. So the coaches, you know, when the coaches meeting comes up, they want it at Arby's. So we have the coaches meeting at Arby's. So all the coaches come in, the manager comes out, talks about how great the place is. You know, they only give us $1,000.
All right.
So we're never losing them as a client for our newspaper.
Ever.
Ever. So when we call them up, they're like, hey, you know, John, Walter, come on down. You know, let's do this stuff. And, you know, we give the – and each of the coaches gets – these coupons to go to Arby's after games. You buy one, you get one free. You know, that's it. I mean, Powerade did the same thing. We put the name on the shirt, and they gave us, you know, money plus free plus Powerade that we brought up for the kids, you know, and they played. So that's the connection they really want to have, and that's what we could bring them. There it is. So social media now-wise, and I don't want to jump around.
No, go.
So the local bank, Mass, but Federal, they want kids to know about banking early. So they sponsor our Instagram Player of the Day. So after the games, we have scorekeepers, by the way, who write up the score, write up a little thing of what's going on during the game. And it's a simple form Microsoft Word, who scored 12 points, who scored 5 points. But after the game now, they get up and we do an Instagram Player of the Game. And Maspeth Federal gives them a little backpack or a pen or something like that. Maspeth Federal Player of the Game. I mean, do we make a lot of money doing that? No, but Maspeth Federal is a legacy advertiser since 1947. And guess what? A lot of these legacy advertisers have thought about, let me not do print anymore. But guess what? We're giving them the digital way. And when outsiders come, and you know, all of these companies are digital advertising companies are coming to the bank and saying, hey, we can run your Facebook, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this. And they've got to make money on those things. We're the trusted friend. Honestly, we're the bank's trusted friend since 1947, since they opened up. So when we come to them with digital stuff, and we're getting not only the readers of our papers, but our sports league, when we're coming, we're showing them the way to advertise digitally. And that's what I think they need, because there's the wild, wild west out there.
It's selling digital advertising. Crazy.
It's crazy. So we're going into it slowly, and you have to be one of our clients to get it.
There's a trust factor there, yeah?
We're managing some Instagram, some social media sites. And I was telling somebody this earlier. I was kicking and screaming not to do that, because when the world was 10 years ago, you know, build websites for our pizza place clients, I was like, no, I'm resisting this, because nobody likes their website. Nobody likes their website designer. And we're all about trust with these local papers. We're all about trust. So if your local restaurant is going to hate you and say, yeah, you know what, the Queen's Ledger designed my website, yeah, I'm glad I went somewhere else. Yeah. So we're not doing it. But we are now running a lot of companies, you know, we're running their Instagram, and we're putting their Instagram on our Instagram pages. So there's that trust, and there's that native advertising thing.
Because they don't, A, have the time, or B, have the interest. Or perhaps they don't have the depth of knowledge of what's going on in those various communities.
And some of them, yes, and some of them have paid companies or people, or they hired insiders to run their Instagram pages, and they didn't get the results they thought they'd get. But with us, we'll put their native, the bank, when the bank does a concert, we'll put that on our Facebook or Instagram site or on our webpage. So now they're getting some of the people who would read about us somewhere
value
else.
Value add.
There it is.
Right?
Yeah, and again, we do charge them more. We do, you know, because we're running their digital stuff. We're running their digital, their social platforms. It's that trust. We won't do it for the local guy who doesn't advertise and doesn't want our thing. You know, doesn't want
the
relationship without
right.
Yeah. So, the real competitive advantage we newspapers have over everyone else is we have a print product. We have that legacy trust. My paper's 100 years old. And we have that legacy trust. We have the print product. And we have the social aspect, you know, where we're not looking to try to have a cat, you know, on you know, with yarn to get 10,000 hits on video. We're doing it with other stuff.
Walter Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's the publisher and the guy behind BQE Media out of New York. I have two questions for you. And I want to talk about Amazon for just a moment, because Mayor Bill de Blasio was on our broadcast several weeks ago, and he told an amazing story. But before I get into the Amazon story, because you ought to know it really well, because you're on the ground right there.
Long Island City Journal,
right there. Who comes up with all of these ideas with regard to advertising and marketing your nine publications? Is that you?
We have a team. No, we have a team. I have my son who's is involved, marketing, director of marketing. And we've hired digital people and video first people. So, the culture of the newsroom makes it happen.
It does,
so it's not
it?
Just me. If you don't hire digital people, you're going to stay in print. You're not going to think about it. Some people might look at it as a waste of time. And I'm sorry to give you such a long answer, but we hired a digital editor, and she said, well, what's the job? It's translating what we're putting in print the way you would translate into French, okay? I'm not going to understand it. So you translate what we have in print, and as long as you understand our culture, you translate it into social, digital, whatever you want. No, I'm not going to say to you, well, I don't like the way that looks. The only thing we don't want you to do is don't schedule posts. You got to have a feel for it. The posting is about a feel because people are going to know if you scheduled stuff. So it's about a feel. Hey, you put in 3 real estate houses of the week. Don't do one next week. You know, wait a couple of weeks. So it's a feel thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just a robot. Yeah. So, and you're as a digital editor, please be our translator. And I'm going to close my eyes and
just go.
We'll see. Just
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have trust on both sides of the ledger.
Correct.
All right. I want to talk about Amazon.
Go ahead.
Because when Mary de Blasio was on with us a couple of weeks ago, he told me this story that I had not heard anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, yeah. Because I asked him, I said, okay, well, wait a minute. All these tax breaks and all these opportunities that you were willing to give to Amazon, that's been the lead story or everything. Well, you know, we're shoveling $2, $3 billion to Amazon. That's not fair because we have all these products and we have all these services that need to be delivered in New York. And what are we doing turning our backs on the people that need service? He says, no, it's not right. That's not how the deal went down. You're on the ground.
Right.
What was the deal, Walter?
The deal was the first time in the last 8 years that de Blasio and Governor Cuomo actually agreed on anything because it meant millions and millions of dollars for the next 2 generations in Queens. And the way it really worked out, it were 2 local legislators, Jimmy Van Bramer, who's a councilman, and Michael Gianaris, who's a state senator, felt the pressure of the progressive movement and felt that, and I'm going to say this is what I know, and they really felt that they had to, one's running for borough president, felt that they had to get the other side. There are some people going to be a bit against Amazon, of course, against something like this. So they got a groundswell of people and paid protesters. I'll tell you right now, they're paid protesters, many of them from the unions. And we're like, what are you going to do about unions after the deal was made? They were really upset. They didn't have a seat at the table so they can get a little bit of their, you know, whatever. So they can get a say in so that they could say, hey, I had something to do with the deal that brought Amazon here. And I think they went further than they wanted to because they're backtracked. You know, when Bezos said, said we're out. And I kind of don't blame him. I'm not happy at all. But listen, they were taking leverage away. And, you know, Amazon could go any way they want. And if they succumbed to some union things, they're a fair company, and the jobs they were given were really, really good jobs. The jobs they're going to create, they're not taking away, they're adding. And we know people that work there at Amazon, they're fair to you. So these guys were hedging their bets. They didn't think Amazon was going to pull out, you know, and they pulled out.
Yeah.
Because Bezos he's going to open up in 20 other cities in the next 20 years. You think he's going to, people say, hey, look what happened in New York. We could hold him hostage too. So this was a power play. Again, did he foresee it? I don't know. But in hindsight, when you look at it, they're not going to sit there and be played by, you know, a group, but by a city. And de Blasio didn't play him, and Cuomo didn't play him. I think they made a good deal, but people wanted
deal. Yeah, the rest of the story is, Walter, according to Mayor de Blasio, is that whatever money that they were giving to Amazon wasn't going to just come out the front door and say, hey, here's billions of dollars for already the most powerful and the most successful company on the planet.
Mm.
Those funds didn't even kick in until Amazon did their deal, bringing infrastructure and all of these things into Long Island and Queens?
Right.
Yeah.
Long Island City.
Long Island City, right. And that was worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
That's accurate. I mean, I'm not, that's a point, and I know you're stressing that's an important point, but no matter what, the jobs that it could create, I don't care when Amazon gave them. I wouldn't care when they gave the money because they're getting jobs for these kids. And there's Cornell Tech is right across the street and LaGuardia College is right. There's so much talent in New York City. And why do you think Amazon wants to be here? Because there's talent here. People want to live here because it never sleeps. The city never sleeps.
It's true that.
It's through Queens, Brooklyn. You know, you're out 3 in the morning. We're here in Albany, and I was looking for a cigar bar last night at 9
o'clock. Forget about it.
And it says close in 10 minutes. I mean, there's one every two blocks.
I have to tell you, okay, this is, and maybe the leadership in Albany is not going to like this much, but I took a walk yesterday afternoon around the hotel that we're at. We're at the Hilton downtown in Albany. And I got to tell you, it's a little sketchy down here. As compared to what I'm used to in the Des Moines market. But there's some TLC that needs to happen in the blocks downtown in the capital city of New York.
There's a homeless issue. We have it everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know.
Yeah.
What do you do about it? I don't know. It's above my pay grade.
Mine too. His name is Walter Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen. Kind enough to sit down with us for 20 minutes to talk about BQE Media, and how they are making a name for themselves and delivering quality journalism on a very hyper-local method. Good stuff. Thank you, Walter, for doing this, man. All right. Good stuff.
Good show.
The secret sauce seems to be hyper-local. Once again, that was Walter Sanchez from BQE Media. We will have a link up on our radio blog. From New York and the New York Press Association, my name's Mike Libby. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, we've got Chap Ramsey as our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions, exclusively for the Business News Hour. For Walter Sanchez and the entire crew, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.